And our guest on this part of the program is Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Barry. Thank you for having me on the show today. One day earlier than my normal day.
One day, yeah, that wouldn't quite have worked out.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we could do this and have our Thanksgiving version of this discussion a day early so we could actually have it.
Yes.
Since tomorrow's a whole bunch of different programming that's going to be going on.
Yes, yes. And yeah. For everybody else, probably too. They're all busy, like, cooking turkeys and, you know, visiting and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Which is all good.
We're absolutely
all in favor of that stuff.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. But you've got something coming. I'm really interested to hear more about this. There's a thing called the Corporate Transparency Act, which has actually been, it was something that was approved a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And is just about to land on small business.
Yes.
And so it's been a long time coming, but it's almost here.
Right.
And it's something we have to be ready for.
Right. And so despite the name of it called Corporate Transparency Act, really, it affects the majority of the entities that it will affect are small businesses. So it's expected to impact over 30-some million small businesses across the United States who will all need to file or register with the Department of Treasury under this new Corporate Transparency Act. And as you mentioned, it goes into effect January 1 of 2024. It will affect anyone who had to file with the Secretary of State's office for a legal entity. So if you're out there listening and you had to file for your, you know, partnership with the Secretary of State, or you filed for an LLC with the Secretary of State, or you filed for, an S-Corp or even a corporation with the Secretary of State. So that's pretty much everyone except sole proprietorships. I mean, that's the only people who don't have to file with the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody else does. So all of those entities will have to now register with the Department of Treasury under this Corporate Transparency Act. And what it the purpose of it is to reduce, you know, illegal, illicit activity, fraud, tax fraud, those types of things. I was listening to a webinar on this, and the presenter was like, if you've ever seen Breaking Bad, and many, many people have, that there's a show called Breaking Bad about drugs, and it talks about how they, like, do this thing called, like, daisy chain, where they have an entity that then owns another entity, and then they kind of launder money by going through multiple entities, making it harder and harder to track. And so they're trying to put a stop to those types of things. That's what the government's trying to do by having the owners, anyone that is considered a BOI, a beneficial ownership interest. So if you have a beneficial ownership interest in a business, then you are going to be required to register. So it won't just have to do with the owners. It will have to do with senior officers, potentially board members, and things like that.
Okay, so this is kind of sweeping then. It's mm-hmm. not only a lot of businesses, but a lot of people in those businesses who are going to be directly affected.
Yes, and the information that they are asking, well, requiring for you to submit is, so anyone that is considered a BOI, a beneficial ownership, has a beneficial ownership interest, then they are going to ask for their information as far as their name, their full legal name, the full, of course, legal name of the business, any doing business as or fictitious names for that business. Anyone who has a 25% or more ownership in the business will have to register as well. And you're going to give your name, your address, the name and address of the business, and then you'll have to provide your birth date, and then a you'll have to scan and upload a document like a passport or a driver's license or some kind of valid ID that says I am who I say I am. Mm-hmm. And then with that, that's what you'll get. And that's going to go into a database with an organization called FinCEN, which is under the Department of Treasury. So it's Financial Crime Enforcement is the department.
So this will be, I guess maybe the purpose of this is to create this enormous database,
mm-hmm.
a searchable database
mm-hmm.
that investigators can use if they're trying to trace money or transactions in any kind of way.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. And that is who will have access to it. It's important to note that it is not accessible to the public. It will not be open to FOIA, the Information Freedom of Information Act, so you don't have to worry about that part, at least. But yeah, federal government, such as like, you know, the FBI and things like that, if they need it, police enforcement, and a few others would have access to this type of information with the proper documentation.
So will the business people who are affected by this,
mm-hmm.
will they be notified that they are facing a deadline for submitting information? Have they already been notified, or is this something they're just expected to know and act on independently?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And as it stands, the Missouri Secretary of State's office is not planning on notifying anyone that has already filed with them. Now, going forward, as a new filer, I don't know about that yet. They may not know about that yet. it may not have been decided yet. But as it stands, no, you are just expected as a small business owner to know that you're supposed to file. There are penalties if you don't file in a timely manner. There are penalties if you knowingly, fraudulently file information, you know, information that's untrue. And then potentially also for senior officers, you know, they can be held accountable if one of their other senior officers refuses to file, for example.
So there are real consequences facing these officers in these small businesses, and mm-hmm. there are, as you said, really every small business except sole proprietorships. All the others are affected by this.
Yeah, what you'll hear is there are, I think it's 23 exemptions that are available out there. However, the vast majority of exemptions are for those entities who are already regulated. So think of like banks, insurance companies, you know, anything that has to do with stock exchange and securities, because they're already regulated, right? Tax exempt. If you're tax exempt, you don't have to file. So this is the for-profit folks out there. The entities that would not need to file that potentially would be considered a small business is if you have more than 20 employees, full-time employees, and you made more than $5 million gross in your revenues the previous year. So if you make more than $5 million and you have more than 20 full-time employees, then you wouldn't have to file.
That's interesting. I wonder why not.
I don't know. That is one of those little caveats that's in there. And I'm like, but why? I wonder if there's another, you know, somebody more knowledgeable than me would know that maybe there's some other filing that someone over $5 million has to do. Or I really just don't know what that's all about. But that's just how it is.
I wonder if it might be that that people in that category mm-hmm. would already be in the databases for the IRS or some other organization.
Yes, and that's that's what I just don't know on that particular topic. But I'm looking into it because I also thought that was unique and interesting that they would be exempt. But okay. Yeah. So if you're out there listening and you make more than $5 million and
gross, not to worry,
not to worry, not to worry. And you have more than 20 full-time employees who work in the United States proper, that was specified, then yeah, you're exempt.
But if you're in a partnership or if you're an S-Corp or
the vast majority of any small business sitting out there listening today is they are going to have to file. Now, they do have, if you are an existing business right now, then you have a full year to file. So that's good news. So beginning January 1, you have until January 1 of 2025 to file. So you have plenty of time to do this. Just don't let it slip off your radar. If, however, you are filing a new entity, you're switching, like some people go from sole proprietor to an LLC or something like that. If you're creating a new entity, starting a new business beginning January 1, then you only have 30 days to file. So that's important to note. And again, not sure if anyone is letting anyone, the Secretary of State's office is going to let them know that, hey, by the way, you also need to file with the Department of Treasury because you filed this LLC here. Mm-hmm. So there's no cost to file. And the portal is still not available yet. But it is supposed to be available as of January 1. Anyone that expects to file early should also expect to see some delays or glitches, because as with any new web portal with the government, you know, there with literally millions of people trying to file, it's going to, you know, there's going to be some challenges and hurdles that they're going to have to, and some bugs to work out.
Gee, does the initial setup for filing for Obamacare ring a bell?
Exactly.
I mean, that was a nightmare.
Yes, and it was the same with some of the stuff that came out during the pandemic, the monies that were available and people that had to sign up online and the portals would crash and for the PPP and stuff like that. Yes. Yep.
Okay, well, just look for more of that. That answers one of my questions, though, and that was whether you just have to sort of write them a note or whether there are forms to fill out. It's nice to know that there are forms to fill out.
Yes.
The bad news is they're not ready yet.
Right.
The portal to get those forms, and the portal itself, once it's up and running, maybe not as smooth as we would like it to be.
Yeah. So, you know, in the meantime, just gather up the information of all the senior officers and owners and have that ready to go so that when the portal is open, you know, maybe you go in February instead of January.
Sheesh. Our guest on this part of the program this morning is Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. And it's like, okay, happy Thanksgiving. Guess what? Sheesh. So this thing that's Corporate Transparency Act.
Yes.
Which went into effect in 2021, or it was approved in 2021.
The law passed, yes.
Yeah. And it's just now, it's going to be in effect as of January
1st.
1st of 2024, which is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the opening of a period in which you need to sign up for this.
Correct.
Register your company, your business, your small business with this.
Yes.
And you have a year to get that done.
Yes.
Now, are there any penalties if you somehow don't do this?
Yes.
Oh, here we go. Here comes the hammer.
That's right. So the Department of Treasury and FinCEN, the Financial Criminal Enforcement Group under the Department of Treasury, has stated that they want to let people know that they're trying to get the word out and educate everyone that, you know, they want them to file. So that's their goal. Their goal is not to penalize. However.
Mm-hmm. However.
However, there are both civil and criminal penalties that can apply. And so if you fail to register during the registration period, which we've mentioned is if you're already one of those entities they had to file with the Secretary of State, then you have until January 1st of 2025 to file. If you fail to file, for every day that you didn't file, it's $500 penalty. Additionally, it's up to a $10,000 fine and 2 years in prison for those who knowingly and deliberately don't file, as well as those who file, inaccurate information, knowingly file inaccurate information. You also, just as a note, if any of your senior officers change during the year, you have 30 days to alert the Department of Treasury that, you had a change in senior leadership, or if any owners change. So senior leaders are those that typically would carry the title of CEO, CFO, president, vice president, those types of titles, or whether they have those titles or not, also have the responsibility that would go along with those titles. And then for those who are out there assisting small businesses, so think of attorneys, paralegals who might file documents for or on behalf of an attorney, on behalf of a company, accountants, CPAs, bookkeepers, people that help with filing taxes. My office, who helps people with filing their LLC and other documents like that, those people will all be considered applicants. And so each time they file with or assist a company with filing, they also have to file. And so those people, I believe it's on most of their radars, most of them out there. And so they can get what they call a FinCEN unique identifying number. And so that way you don't have to put in your name and address and, all that good stuff every single time that you file for someone, help someone else file.
You've used that word twice now, FinCEN. How do you, is it FinSIN?
I'm sorry. It's FIN for financial, and then CEN. Okay. It's the Crime Enforcement, I think it's Network, CEN. And so that's like a sub-department, if you will, under the Department of Treasury. And they're the ones that are enforcing this, if you will.
It's one acronym after another, so we should not be surprised.
Yeah, but financial still. Crime enforcement. So just think of that. That's yeah. What this all is supposed to be helping them do, is to catch those who are, trying to evade taxes and things like that.
The important thing to know, though, and this is why you wanted to talk about this, is that there will apparently be no notification sent to businesses or business officers or owners who would be affected by this. Mm-hmm. There is not going to be any notification that you have until the first of the year to get something done or to get started in the process.
Right. And so all of this boils down to, if you had to initially file with the Secretary of State for your legal entity, which we talked about was an LLC or an S-Corp or corporation. And so if you had to do that, whether that was 30 years ago or yesterday, you are going to have to now input information into this database with FinCEN, the Financial Criminal Enforcement. But I also think it's important to note that this is not information that the government doesn't really already have about you. I mean, it's your name, your address, your birthday, and your, a unique identifier like your passport or your driver's license. So all those come from the government anyway. The catch is that when you file, like, for example, with an LLC, typically when you file an LLC with the Secretary of State, your ownership and stuff can change. The state does not know who owns the LLC. So in the filing in Missouri, I can only speak to Missouri, but in the filings in Missouri, it will ask you who the owners are initially, but that could change the next day or the next year or 10 years later. And
There's no requirement.
And there's no requirement to then update that with the state. So who all is involved at senior leadership, or who all is involved in ownership or partial ownership, is not mandated to be updated. Now, you can update it, but you don't have to. So that's part of the issue when it comes to these, unfortunately, these criminals out there. They know this, and they know that it's hard for them to pin down who owns what LLC, or these holding companies that are out there, or pass-through entity. I mean, there's just ways to get around a lot of stuff. And so I think FinCEN, the Department of Treasury, and the government is trying to help better identify who has something to do with that business, like in a definitive way. It's good intentions. Wow. We'll say that.
Yeah, okay. And we'll give you the benefit of the doubt and accept that it's good intentions, but still, this is requiring individuals who are affected by this law to somehow discern, and you've helped them a lot mm-hmm. by being here this morning to warn them that this is the law, and the clock is ticking.
Yeah, and as they've said many times before, whether it's criminal or civil law, they say, you know, ignorance of the law is no defense. So I'm just trying to get the word out to everyone so that they don't need that defense. They can just say, yes, I know I got to do that, and it's on my radar. And, you know, even if you need any assistance with figuring out who is considered a BOI, you know, a beneficial ownership, who has a beneficial ownership interest, is this person actually considered an applicant? You know, my daughter is typing this in for me. Is she considered an applicant on my company, you know, because I'm not good with computers, and so my daughter's doing this for me? By the way, the answer to that is yes, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
I was shocked. That is an actual example from FinCEN. I was like, no, they're just like typing it in. That's not an applicant. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
All right. With 30 seconds left, what are the high points we need to remember?
Okay. So keep in mind, you have a whole year to get this done, unless you are a new startup, and then you will have 30 days to get it done. So it's important that people like me who are out there advising entities, you know, that are getting started, that they need to get this done and not to worry about it. It's basic information. I don't think it will be difficult. It'll just be one extra step.
One more thing to do.
One more thing to do.
Thanks, Rebecca.
You're welcome. Thank you, Barry.